Forgers and Artists, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Spera. Czesław Bojarski, The Rembrandt of Counterfeit Bills. Czesław Bojarski was a quiet, discreet man, born in Poland in the winter of 1912. He studied at the Polytechnic Institute of Dancing, and then he became an officer in the Polish army during the Second World War. Taken prisoner by the Hungarians, he escaped and took refuge in France. There, he was re-enlisted in the 1st Polish Division. After the war, he lived in the Cantal region, where he met his wife. In the 1950s, the couple settled in a small house in Bobigny, a suburb to the north of Paris. Czesław was then an independent researcher and an inventor. He invented a revolutionary pouring cap and electric razor. But the value of these discoveries are not recognized, and his company goes bankrupt. He feels humiliated, and he lies to his wife, telling her that he's landed a job as a sales representative. This has the merit of explaining his numerous trips, but it's not true. The story goes that after the war, the Traction Avant gang, a gang of criminals from Pigalle in Paris, recruited the Polish engineer. It was with them that Czesław Bojarski learned the basics of how to counterfeit money and how to make it circulate. Indeed, in 1951, the Bank of France records an increasing number of counterfeit 1,000-franc bills, the famous blue bills. In 1954, more than 1,500 counterfeits a month are arriving at the bank's headquarters on Rue de la Vrière in the 1st arrondissement of Paris. The bills are of an uncommon fidelity. They're very well printed on paper with watermark in the paste. The forgeries appear in the four corners of the hexagon, always in very small numbers, making the work of the investigators extremely difficult, if not impossible. They deduce that they're dealing with a well-structured organization, equipped with state-of-the-art equipment, and relayed by several people. The forgery operation is codenamed C6. Philippe Ménard, the former head of the OCRFM, the Central Office for the Repression of Counterfeit Currency, and then a general commissioner and chief of staff at the Central Directorate of the Judicial Police, recounts, "These forgeries were undetectable at the time. The paper is of a quality never seen before. Its crispness and fineness are extremely difficult to detect." Moreover, the production of counterfeit bills requires several professions, the first one being the photo engraver, who takes care of the image of the banknote. He draws it by hand or reproduces it by photography, an exposure of printing plates. The second is the offset printer, the technique used at the time. Finally, it's necessary to have a network in order to get the money circulating. Bojarski, however, acts alone, at night in his workshop on the second floor of his house. He makes a machine with a zinc bidet fixed on a wooden frame. Cast in cement, he gives it the necessary inclination and equips it with an electric drum. The paste is composed of a precise mixture of OCB cigarette paper and tracing paper, previously blended with the Termix that his wife will search for in vain in the kitchen. The watermark is made at the time of the draining thanks to a complicated and ingenious process. As for the making of the plates, the front side requires the making of three plates, four for the back side, one per color to be produced. The plates are sheets of plexiglass with a thickness of 9/10. Bojarski places them on top of an authentic banknote and, with the help of a small binocular used as a magnifying glass, he engraves by transparency with a small chisel, itself made of a steel needle. The sheets of plexiglass are then coated with black ink to allow the photographic transfer on collodion plates. In this way, Bojarski obtains a negative that can be used for chemical photo engraving on zinc plates. Once finished, the few remaining details can be rectified by hand. The same method is used for the numbers, dates, and serial letters. Czesław finally builds a hand press and buys commercial inks for printing. He proceeds slowly, color by color. The new bills are aged in a drum, always handmade, and lined with pieces of chamois leather. He uses his first fake bill to buy Christmas presents for his family in 1950. The investigation into the counterfeit bills stalls for 10 years. The only information available to the detectives was provided by the Bank of France. In the meantime, in 1958, a new counterfeit appears, the 5,000-franc bill, of a type called Terre et Mer. Since 1954, Bojarski has been working in a small workshop he set up in his backyard. Mr. Katz, an engineer for whom he worked, gave him a universal machine. The pulp is the same. Not much of a change in the way of practicing at the beginning. He invents a new process for watermarking without much difficulty. It is still the plates that take him the most time, several months, according to him. 5 plates will be necessary for the front side of the bill, and again 4 for the back side. A 10th plate of intaglio will be necessary. To execute this, Czeslaw renounces the complicated process of photo engraving and uses a dentist's cutter directly on the zinc plates. The same letters and numbers as the 1,000-franc banknotes are recycled, like in a hand press. For intaglio printing, a press purchased from a second-hand dealer will do. The inks are purchased commercially, then mixed to obtain the exact color. Each color, once again, is printed alone. Finally, the same drum is used for the aging process. However, a sizing is added to perfect the creations. Czeslaw Bojarski is extremely careful, something he learned perhaps during his apprenticeship with the Pigalle gang. He never uses more than 1 fake bill at a time. He spends them in different places every time, mainly in Paris and Lyon, but also on the French Riviera for vacations or in the mountains of Savoie. He only buys small items that he almost never keeps, throwing them out and keeping the change that he gets. He explains that he spends half of each month disposing of the bills produced the other half. The couple's improving finances allow them to build a villa in the quiet Paris suburb of Montgeron. The old pit of the site, secretly drained, will be reconverted into an office. It is located exactly below Czeslaw's workshop. He can access it through a carefully concealed trap door. By himself, because he always works alone, Czeslaw installs all of his forging machinery. The man is patient. 1 year after moving into the villa, he is ready to resume his illicit activities. It is Christmas, 1961. His third project will be to counterfeit the banknote of 100 new Bonaparte francs, type 1959. The manufacturing process is the same as for the previous banknotes: paper, draining, watermark. For the plates, he now uses 8 zinc plates, a copper plate for the intaglio, produced with the same process as the 5,000-franc bills. The numbers and letters are obtained by typography, the inks are mixed, and the color printing unchanged. Gluing and aging put the finishing touches on the banknotes. The whole process takes Bojarski a year, and his new fake bills are finally ready for his Christmas shopping in 1962. From then on, the counterfeiter disposes of about 60 bills per day by making purchases of 20 to 30 francs and keeping the change. He then invests this in treasury bonds with progressive interest in post offices. In 1964, tired of traveling the country, Bojarski sells his counterfeit bills to Antoine Dovgerd, with the instructions never to buy treasury bonds directly with the counterfeits, and to use them only one by one. A simple rule, but one that makes benefiting from all this counterfeit money a slow process. Dovgerd and his brother-in-law, Alexis Shuvalov, do not have the qualities of a good forger, and they don't care about Bojarski's recommendations. A whole bundle of fake bills is used at the post office of the 17th arrondissement in Paris. Dovgerd, who bought some treasury bonds, is followed, and Shuvalov falls with him. The men quickly give up their supplier. Czeslaw Bojarski is arrested at home in front of his family, who don't understand what's going on. A long search begins, during which Bojarski protests vigorously. 72 million treasury bonds are found in the safe of the house, but nothing that proves the making of the fake bills. The detectives are close to giving up when one of them spills a cup. The absorption rate of the linoleum on the floor is suspicious. The detective discovers a trap door, lifts another one, and the counterfeiter's workshop is revealed. It's time to confess. Over 12 years, Czesław Bojarski will have produced 300 million old francs. 3,872 seized counterfeit banknotes are submitted to the expertise of the Bank of France, which, in front of these almost undetectable fakes, agrees, in a unique move, to reimburse them. The 100 new franc Bonaparte banknotes have 6 defects. The green leaf above the 1 of 100 NF is not closed properly. The Bonaparte wick is fuller. The number 100 NF is closer to the margin of 4/10 of a millimeter. The first orange star on the top left is missing a branch. The flowers and fruits of the top frieze are less finely hatched. And finally, the watermark is wider than the authentic one. Nevertheless, to this day, no counterfeiter in the world has reached the level of perfection that Czesław Bojarski reached. So much so that in the numismatic world, that is, in circles where people collect old coins and bills, the counterfeit 100 new franc Bonaparte bills by Bojarski are priced higher than the real ones. Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.